For our scripture reading, we turn this morning to Hebrews, and we begin reading in the 12th chapter, verse 25. We finish our reading at verse 21 of the next chapter. Hebrews 12, verse 25 through 13, 21. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you that rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thus far, God's precious word to us. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, children and young people, we often sing that song. You might know it. Abide with me. Singing those well-known words, change and decay all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. New Year's morning 2019. We look forward into this new year, and indeed we can say change and decay we can see all around us. Midnight, while some slept and others were awake, we went through a change. 2018, forever gone. 2019, started. Change. We live in a fast-changing world, which morally seems to be decaying very rapidly. We heard something about that yesterday night. We look at it and we wonder, what is this year going to bring? What is the next mudslide of moral change that will come up over us? Is it going to be decay? Is it going to decay our society even further? Or will the gospel light shine? We look at the church worldwide, and depending on our character, we might look with optimism or with pessimism, but we should all look to the scriptures, to the promises, and have hope, because the Lord Jesus has said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And yes, also in the church, we will be able to spot change, and perhaps decay. And we look at to our church this morning. Can anyone say this morning, I have not changed? Change might be coming this year also, as we pray for the Lord's guidance, for instance, for the church plant in the Tilsonburg area, or when we consider things like building this building to increase it for functionality. Change. We know one thing, that we as a consistory are eagerly looking for positive spiritual change, even more than anything else. We are looking for lives changed by the grace of God. We rejoice when we see that. We are sad when we have to deal with decay. We rejoice when we see in you greater levels of joyful obedience and Christ-likeness. Then, there's change in our families. For some of us, last year was, there might have been big changes. New life, marriage, death, suffering, broken relationships, and who knows what is coming this year? God does. No one can say that we don't change. We change either for the better or the worse. As we grow older, one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 second at a time, we change. Our world, our church family, our family, you and I, we are ever changing. How fitting it is, therefore, to tune in this morning. O thou who changest not, abide with me. This morning, this new year. That's the prayer that's echoed also in our text this morning. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. How comforting to know that Jesus Christ has not changed in a world full of change, full of decay. Our theme simply is this: Jesus has not changed. Our points are the same yesterday, today, forever. We hope to view this text in context of the whole book of Hebrews, so we will try to see that. First of all, the same. When you and I spot change, we all tend to respond differently. Some of us are very reflective and think deeply and wisely about these things. And several of such people have sometimes said to me, in church, we are never in a hurry to change things. Now, obviously, that doesn't make the people happy for whom change cannot go quick enough. For those among us who think, hurry up, let's change yesterday. Others, when they hear something or see something like that, are easily panicking and say, oh, no change. Give me stability. It feels so much safer when things stay the same. Some of us have gone through so much change in our lives, and some of us have probably also seen how things can go very wrong when we change things, and you've become more cautious. Our responses to change are often greatly influenced by our life experiences, what we have gone through in our lives, by our characters, by our age, but also by the level of spiritual maturity that we have. So with this in mind, an ever-changing world, entering a new year that is inevitably going to give us change, keeping in mind that we have all different responses to change, different opinions about it perhaps, we open this morning, this new year, the Word of God in our text, and we hear these beautiful, reassuring words, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our text is part of the book of Hebrews, the last chapter. And at first glance, when we are reading, it seems to appear out of the blue, this text. But that's not true. We are going to read it in context of the whole book. And if we do that, it's going to make sense. In the changing world of the Hebrew Christians at that time, when the church was changing from Old Testament to New Testament worship, when some wanted to return to Jerusalem temple to worship there, the Hebrew writer has shown those Christians that Jesus Christ is the ever constant and therefore trustworthy. Just as he is the ever constant and trustworthy for us this morning. Last Sunday we read the first chapter. We heard Psalm 102 quoted. That's echoed in our verse. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish. Change. But thou remainest. No change. No change in God. They shall wax old as does a garment, and as a vesture they shall be folded up. They shall be changed. Obvious change. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. We look to God, to Jesus, no change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. Jesus Christ, what a precious name. What a precious name. When you and I run the race of our lives, there are so many things that can change. But when we focus on that name, when we focus on Him, that can truly settle down our hearts and make us calm. Especially when we see all the change. He is the ever constant. And recently, children, do you remember, we have considered His name in depth already. What did Jesus mean again? He shall save His people from their sins. That hasn't changed. Christ, what did it mean again? He is the anointed one. Prophet, priest, King, he continues to speak to his people as the great prophet. He continues to apply his atoning work, his suffering, his blood, ever effectual. Hasn't changed. He is that King. who has not changed for a moment. He is ruling and on the throne. When this earth changes, when everything around us changes, when this earth is waxing old, Psalm 102 says, when it's folded up like old clothing, Jesus remains the same. He's the same when this earth is going to undergo one day a complete change. When Christ will return as the judge of the earth, Christ is the same when he will fold up this earth as our righteous judge. Christ is the same when this earth is going to pass and burn up with fervent heat, Peter tells us, and the elements will melt. He's the same when the earth is shaken and the stars fall off from heaven as if they are shaken by a mighty wind. He's the same when the heavens will depart and be rolled back as a scroll. He's the same as this world groans for this complete renewal, for this greatest change possible. Jesus Christ is the coming Savior and the coming Judge. He's the same. Our scripture reading also started at that point. This world will be shaken. That's why we, you and I, are called to serve him with reverence and godly fear. It said, for God is a consuming fire. He's still the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he calls us still to godly and healthy fear of him. A heart that is in awe. A heart that is full of reverence, worked by the power of the Spirit. He's the same. He's set apart to give that to our hearts. Prophet, priest, king, today, this new year, the same. He's the one who seeks and saves those who are lost. Today, the same. If you're in your sin and not ready to meet this judge, he's the same. Are you ready for his coming? Do you know him as your Savior? That's the first question of this new year. Are you changed by his blood? Bless the Lord if that's true. These questions don't change this year. These are still important questions. This year. See, it's still important to know him as your personal Savior. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You and I still need this purifying work, this deep and lasting change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's the same yesterday. Secondly, In the context of the book of Hebrews, the author of the book probably thought back of those first verses that we have read last Sunday. God at sundry times in divers manners in the time past spoke to the fathers by the prophets. Now he spoke through Jesus Christ, his Son. Now the Old Testament is still important. The yesterday of the Old Testament is still important. Otherwise, we don't understand the work of the Savior. Hebrews refers back to the people of Israel in the wilderness. And we are to understand our life in light of that wilderness generation. In those days, the yesterday of those days, the people broke the covenant with God. They often, in that yesterday, in the Old Testament, ignored, despised, and rejected God's word. And as a result, they couldn't enter into the promised land, the Hebrews tells us. And the author of Hebrews saw that pattern often repeated in his days. And he saw that people were turning away from Christ and the worship of Christ in reverence and godly fear. If that was the case then, Old Testament, case in the New Testament when Hebrew writer was there, would we be surprised when that is also today in the North American church? yesterday, Jesus Christ is the same. Still the same. But we change. We can turn away from him. But from our viewpoint today, how is Christ the same to us yesterday? And then we think about this. Hebrews tells us what happened. What happened yesterday in the life of Jesus Christ, so to say. His yesterday, he suffered, he bled and died to earn salvation for such sinners. Rebellious by nature. Turning away. Going away. It was yesterday that the Lord said to his son, "This is my son, today I have begotten thee." When he came into the world to do that mission, seek and to save those who are lost. It was yesterday when the author and finisher of our faith run the race on earth, went to the cross, despised the terrible shame that came with the cross. It was yesterday that he endured contradiction of sinners against himself, and we know, sadly enough, it was not only yesterday, it's also today. It was yesterday, in the days of his flesh, that he offered up strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, Hebrews tells us. He crawled in Gethsemane to save sinners yesterday. It was yesterday when he, as the Son, learned obedience in what he suffered. It was yesterday that he, with one sacrifice, perfected forever those who are sanctified, who are set apart by his grace. That all remains the same today. Yesterday, Jesus accomplished the work of salvation, showing his boundless, amazing grace for sinners who don't deserve it, who oppose him by nature. He assures forgiveness for enemies, for covenant breakers. He welcomes today sinners who come with a simple faith and with true repentance and say, "Lord, that's me." Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you see how deeply he suffered, you and I won't think lightly about his salvation. We will fear him with reverence and godly fear. And we are seeking eternal rest, running the race that is set before us, Hebrews shows us. However, Hebrews also warns us that many could not enter into his rest. Why not? Children, do you remember? Why not? Here is something. The word came to these people, and the Lord tells us to mix faith with the word that comes to us. Just like when you are baking a cake, children, you have flour and oil, and it needs to be mixed. So we need, by the grace of God, to mix faith in our hearing, trusting God's promises as we head for the promised land. So what was the reason that they could not enter in the promised land? It was unbelief. It was hardening of heart. Not trusting the forgiveness through this Messiah, this promised Messiah. Now you and I might be here, you might be here this morning looking at your yesterdays. That's the time of year, right? Your past. And you might fear. And you might say, there's so much sin there. There's lots of disobedience. Maybe you look at the sins of your youth. Perhaps you are even wondering, is my heart hardening against the gospel? Or you look at your sins in the past and you say, how many? I can't remember even. or you don't forget, then I say to you this morning, don't forget what we heard yesterday evening. Jesus Christ is approachable. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. When we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So come this new year's morning. If you are still under that load, if you have not done so yesterday, then come today to the high priest. Confess your sins to him. And your sins are bothering you. When you perhaps feel hardened, bring that to him too. When you wonder, am I hardened for the gospel? Or when you perhaps are this morning here and you're used to ignoring your sins. You have never brought them to the Lord Jesus. Do it now. Do it now. This high priest knows what to do with them. When your yesterday troubles you, look to this high priest. He is the sacrifice. He suffered for sins yesterday. Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Only his yesterday, only his past was holy, harmless, and undefiled. No one can say that here this morning. My yesterday, holy, harmless, undefiled. But he can. He can. When you trust him by faith, what you can see with your eyes, but what you trust in the Word of God, and you experience in your heart forgiveness, cleansing, earned yesterday, given to you today. Commit yesterday's sins to him. Trust him. And then serve him with reverence, godly fear, awe, seeking that eternal rest. Listen to what Paul said when he knew that he was forgiven. He said, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what Hebrews is telling us too, as we will see in a moment. It's basically saying to us this morning, run the race that is set before you. Follow Jesus today. Will you follow today? You're going to look at that. Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today. You see, Hebrews tells us that when Christ was on earth, he was running a race. A race. Every day of his life. And he had his eye on final joy. With his eye on the goal. Entering glory. Entering the rest that was promised. And we all know that he had a difficult race to run. So what he did, he ran it in dependence on his Father, one day at a time. One day at a time. Some of us have a difficult race to run, more than others. But we all have difficult races to run. Our path is literally filled with sins that easily beset us. Temptations, distractions, those things that we consider sins that pull us away, or legitimate things even, which secretly and gradually can begin to be craved after more than Jesus. And the Lord knows that, and therefore he speaks to us. And in his love, he has a message to us. Same message as he did to the Hebrew Christians. Jesus is the same yesterday, today. His message is this. Lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily beset us. And let us run the race with patience. That means with endurance. The race that's laid out before you. Set before you. So run. Run. pursuing eternal rest. I mean, we are all in this race, if we are saved by God's grace, for the long run. Not just for a sprint. Not just for the first joy of being saved. Everyone who runs knows that when you have given your first, in your first few miles or kilometers, you have given your everything, that those first moments, you're not going to go to the finish line. You're not going to last long. You won't have the price. Because the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a lifelong race. And we need to learn to pace ourselves. We need to see the dangers on the road. In other words, we are to deny ourselves. We are called to be citizens heading for the promised rest, going through a wilderness, which is called life. We are called to run that race looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ, the same today as he was yesterday. He ran his race. He did it first. And we run the race of the Christian life. And we trust that he first ran for us. For us. Paving the way for us. Into glory for us. So it might seem contradictory, but this is the truth about it. We rest while we run. We rest while we run. We're resting in the fact that he completely run his race in our place for believers. For those who came to humbly trust in his work alone. That's how he paved the way to glory for us, to eternal rest. His race is finished. He's crowned. He's at the right hand of the Father. Now we are resting in his finished work while we press on. And we lay aside everything that so easily trips us up. And he is our cheerleader. In the book of Hebrews, we hear him spurring us on, his runners. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, where your fathers tempted me and proved me. Your fathers ultimately didn't enter into the rest, because they were tripped up by all their temptations all the time. Actually, in the end, it showed that many never ever entered the race after all. They were not motivated by Jesus Christ alone. Their hearts were hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And yes, the author to the Hebrews says, I'm assured of many of you of better things, if not all of you. But when you hear that, you might worry and say, how can I finish this race? Entering into eternal rest, how will I finally reach that promised land? How can I run the race for God's glory and not drop out? Now let me say it again. Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Find rest in Jesus Christ as your high priest. Rest there. He run that race for you into the most holy place. He is now before the Father. He became in all things like us, sin excepted. He ran his race. And because he ran that race, he is a merciful, faithful high priest. When life gets tough, when the world changes for the worse, and perhaps even when the world hates you because you're associating with him, or when families break apart, or death takes a loved one, Come to him. Look to him. He run that race already. And it was a tough race. He knows what it is to run the race. And when sin besets you this morning, he knows how to deal with that part too. Jesus Christ is the same today. So believe a runner, he has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And you can therefore boldly say this morning, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men or circumstances shall do unto me. Jesus is the same today. Yesterday he made peace for me with God at the cross, when he suffered, when he was tempted, like I am. Tempted to give up. But I look to him, faithful, submitting to his Father. Therefore he's able to help me. When you and I suffer in this race, when he understands that struggle, so you find rest as you run. He's my high priest that can be touched with the feelings of my infirmities. When you and I begin to feel exhausted in this race, he knows what that is. We find at his feet rest for our soul. We come to him boldly, to the throne of grace, and we receive from him mercy and find help in times of need. We look to him as we run. We remember that he intercedes for us. He prays for us before the Father right now, today. And so we continue on. He is for me. I trust him. I trust his work. I trust his race. He's the same today. And as we run the race, more and more we desire to enter already into that rest. To be done with sin. Because this path is that race that is set before us is a path of practical godliness. When you look to our chapter, it's surrounded with verses that exactly show that. Let brotherly love continue, verse 1. So the Lord Jesus is spurring us on and saying, run this race in love. Show hospitality to strangers. Run this race with an eye for others, for the gospel. He says to us, he cheers us on, keep yourselves and your marriage pure. Run this race in purity. He speaks about living a sober lifestyle. Because you're running a race, if you're carrying all that load, you cannot run fast, can you? Live a sober lifestyle because you're running this race. Don't build an empire. Accept the shame also that comes for belonging to Jesus Christ. Accept the rejection patiently. Running for his glory, reminding yourself over and over and over again, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and he calls me to run this race in his strength alone. How do you and I run? Well, just like Jesus did. Just like Jesus did. We run with joy, we run with hope, we run with expectation. We know one day I will reach the promised rest. One day I will arrive with the Old Testament fathers, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abram, Sarah, in the better country. A heavenly country where he is already. One day, you and I will receive the reward when we follow also in the steps that Moses went when he despised the pleasures of Egypt because he was seeking riches ahead. There's something that is already there in that place ahead. We've cast our anchor over there. It's like a robe that pulls us in. For we have hope, which is the anchor of our soul. It's sure, it's steadfast. And everything around me shakes. I'm following, I'm running. I'm seeing someone there. His name is the Forerunner. Jesus Christ. He's already in that country. He already paved that way for me. I'm looking. Jesus Christ. I focus my life on eternal joy set before me. And so I run. Do you too? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. Lastly, he's the same forever. You would say, it's more logical when you say the same tomorrow. That would make sense to us, wouldn't it? Yesterday, today, tomorrow. But that's not what it says. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. Jesus, who knows what it means to run the race, gives us something much better. He's not there only for us tomorrow. He's there for us forever. Book of Hebrews stresses it over and over. He's a priest forever. This man continues ever. Hebrews 7:24. Because he has an unchangeable priesthood. And that's not all. He's our eternal king. Last Sunday we heard, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And his kingdom is coming. He's going to rule. His rest is coming. It's around the corner. He will rule this world when he has folded it up and cleaned it from all sin in righteousness. No evil, no sin. He's going to build that city where we can be forever with him. City is called Zion, Hebrews 12 shows us. So keep on running. Keep on running in the way of highway of holiness. Make straight a straight path for your feet. When you do, you can be sure that you finally will reach this glorious city, this eternal rest, which is already a present reality. It's already a present reality, Hebrews 12 shows, but it's also a future certainty. That's the city of the living God. We're heading for that Mount Zion, and the church is there. The church of the firstborn from the dead, Jesus Christ. And we will worship him there with innumerable company of angels. And we will come to worship the judge of all. And we will worship with the spirits of just men made perfect. Those who have gone before us. Those who have run the race. Noah, Abraham, and all the others. Run the race looking to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, who gave his blood, cleanses me. That's who Jesus will be, our eternal king. And then one day he will welcome us into that eternal city if we keep on running, looking to Jesus. He will be glorious. We will worship him forever and ever with the angels because of his blood. He's the same to us forever. He's a compassionate high priest. I knew him already as such on the earth. He is my eternal King, my Savior, my Lord, my glorious mediator, our intercessor, who prays and who ever lived to make intercession. So let me ask, is that where you are heading? Jesus' eternal rest, his glorious city, are you running on the highway of holiness? Then rest in his work while you run the race with endurance. You will one day see God. You will one day worship your Savior. And that worship and seeing him will be your eternal reward. Let's run. Or have you fallen? Have you been tripped up by sin? Have you been bogged down by unbelief? Is your heart hardening? Are you afraid for the change that takes away your supposed freedoms? Listen, Jesus is the same to yesterday, today, and forever. He today tells you, harden not your heart. He tells you today, he shows you, I'm a merciful high priest. He assures you, my work is finished. Run the race. Keep me in view. And you will be able to run this race with stability, with stamina, fearless, joyful, in the days ahead, into this new year. Whatever happens, focus on him. So let us run the race, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we run the race, and when you and I rest in Jesus Christ, we don't need to fear change. We don't need to stop running whenever we see change. When things might seem to fall apart. We don't need to panic when things don't go the way we think they should go. Neither do we want to hurry up everything, because we know that in the long term, for the long term, he is in control of everything. We only want quick change. We might want quick change if we are perhaps just only racing, not resting in Jesus Christ. Better is to run in the race with endurance, looking to Jesus Christ every moment, because he is the same the yesterday, today, and forever, and he's in firm control of his church. He knows what he is doing. So do you need to find rest still this morning? Are you stuck? Listen to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Are you in the race? Then keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Rest there and listen to him as he spurs you on today. Follow me. Endure to the end. Follow me, the forerunner, into glory, eternal rest. You know what that word means? Trailblazer. Trailblazer. The path might not be easy, but he has paved the road. And so you will reach your destination. And you will see him the one who never changes, the one who will abide with you forever. When change and decay all around I see, what do we pray? O thou who changest not, abide with me. That will be true forever. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. Amen.